Welcome to That's What She Said, a podcast of sermons at Galileo Christian Church, Disciples of Christ. Galileo exists to seek and shelter spiritual refugees, who for us are people for whom the church has become boring, irrelevant, exclusive, or even painful, especially people who have been pushed out because of their gender or sexuality. If you yourself are a spiritual refugee, we're especially glad you're listening. And if you find this podcast helpful in your theological rehabilitation, consider partnering with us in its production. Become a financial sponsor of That's What She Said on Patreon, a platform for supporting content you love. Thanks!
Hey friends, I'm Katie. My pronouns are she, her. I'm the lead evangelist here at Galileo Church. And I too am really glad to see all of you here tonight, especially new faces, people I'm meeting tonight for the first time, and some I just haven't seen in a minute. Glad to imagine all of you out there joining us from your homes. Thank you, thank you. It is a beautiful day for Deanne's ordination. It happens to come in the middle of a worship series that Galileo Church began for Eastertide. The series is called Beholding, How We See Each Other. And in preparation for the holiday of Pentecost coming up in several Sundays, we are examining together the practices of our co-conspiracy. That is to say, the way of life that Galileo folks aspire to as co-conspirators in the gospel that has been entrusted to us. And so we're reading the Gospel of Mark in this season through the lens of our co-conspiracy. And for tonight, the practice that we're considering as we read is gracious receipt of care from the church family. I'm reading from Mark chapter 2, picking up where we left off last week. This is chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. When Jesus returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. So many gathered around that there was no longer room for them, not even in front of the door. And he was speaking the word to them. Then some people came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. And when they could not bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And after having dug through it, they let down the mat on which the paralytic lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Child, your sins are forgiven." Now, some of the scribes were sitting there questioning in their hearts, "Why does this fellow speak in this way? It is blasphemy. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" At once, Jesus perceived in his spirit that they were discussing these questions among themselves, and he said to them, "Why do you raise such questions in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Stand up and take your mat and walk'? But so that you may know that the Son of Humanity has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, stand up, take your mat, and go on home." And he stood up and immediately took the mat and went out before all of them, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. On why a well-manicured church is no church at all. Because if you want to get somebody to the feet of Jesus, you have to dig. And as far as I'm aware, there are no specialty tools for pulling back a thatched roof and chopping through the hardened mud that holds it all together. I'm pretty sure after you haul your friend up there, you just hunker down and get with it with your hands. It's messy and hard, and if you don't get dirt under your fingernails, if you don't tear a few off and bruise your hands and bleed a little, you're not doing your part. When I was 17 years old, I went to college to study engineering, and I ended up at a church, the same brand as the fundagelical church of my raising, but where women's voices were heard often, and women's gifts were honored always. I had never seen such a thing. They had decided all that long before I got there. I want to tell y'all, their fingernails were dirt under there, even though they were clipped short, utilitarian, and sturdy. When I was 25 years old, I graduated from seminary with a mountain of student debt and no prospects in that fundangelical denomination, save for one little rogue congregation hiding in North Shelby County, Alabama, which had recently reckoned with the treasure trove of women's strengths in their midst. It was a new decision on their part to free the Holy Spirit to blow where she would, and mine would be the first female voice in that pulpit. Their fingernails were ragged and bleeding. When I was 36 years old, I found myself without an ecclesial anchor once again. And I drifted quite by accident into a new denomination, the Christian Church, Disciples of Christ, whose history of receiving and celebrating women's gifts was long and honorable. There were a lot of calloused, scarred hands in this group, but they were still digging, just in other rooftops now. When I was 44 years old, I had an idea to try something altogether new. A church for spiritual refugees, the ones I saw all around me, and also, truly, for my own restless spirit. And wouldn't you know, over the last 11 years, I have found that this is quite impossible without the faithfulness of filthy fingernailed friends who will dig through any obstacle for the sake of someone who cannot get to Jesus on their own. Deanne, here is what I am saying. There is a sense in which ministry is a lot like digging. Indeed, ministers are professional diggers. People pinned to the mat, paralyzed by grief, or shame, or pain, or rage, or fear, or avarice, or privilege, or injustice, need help. They need help of the heave-ho kind, the heavy lifting up to the roof kind, to get them in front of the healing power of Jesus. They need someone to dig on their behalf, someone who is not afraid to get down on their knees and tear through the barriers and punch through the ceiling. People on the mat need someone who knows that Jesus is always, get this, below the ceiling, not above it. You dig down to find Jesus. You go low to get to him. He will never hover overhead waiting for people to climb up higher. People on the mat need someone who understands that Jesus will do whatever Jesus will do once you get your guy down there. Someone who knows that they themselves are not Jesus. They don't get to decide if it's forgiveness or healing that the guy needs most. They honestly can't say whether it's spirit or body most in need of repair. Their only job is to dig and deliver. Jesus will take it from there. People on the mat need someone who's not afraid of opposition, of the bobble-headed VRPs, the very religious persons in the back of every room Jesus occupies, shaking their heads no, saying there's no way that this can happen like this. Not here, not now, not him or her or them, not you. Have you checked the VRP's fingernails lately? Clean and smooth, buffed to a shine. People on the mat need someone whose name will be forgotten, who works as part of a team, who will fade into anonymity once the digging is done because the joy belongs to the one who is dancing home, and the glory belongs to the one who restored his spirit and his spinal cord. They need someone who will go quietly home and wash their hands, bandage the blisters, and clip the ragged edges and rest well so they can do the whole thing all over again tomorrow. But here is what I am actually saying, Deanne. We ministers, pastors, lead evangelists, chaplains, all, we love to imagine ourselves as the diggers. We were born to dig. We are gifted to dig. We are called by God's own self to come alongside people on the mat and dig them down to the feet of Jesus. But an ordination service is not about digging. It's about having been dug for. It's about knowing and remembering and promising never to forget all the sweaty, scarred, beautiful people with muddy knees and dirty hands who tore away the ceiling to get you to Jesus' feet. Like Helen Pappas and 85 of her Catholic siblings who withdrew from their parish when the priest began denying the Eucharist to gay women and men. Helen and her friends found themselves a pastor. Where do you find a pastor for a church like that? You look for those who have been kicked out of seminary. And they found one, an ex-seminarian named George Hyde, who had been excommunicated from priest training for sexual misconduct with another man. And they ordained George Hyde, and they began offering the Eucharist to each other over cocktail tables pushed together in a borrowed room. And they named their congregation for the inclusion they insisted on and the church they would not let go of, even if it had already let go of them. Helen Pappas and George Hyde were founders of Eucharist Catholic Church in Atlanta in 1946. Y'all, their fingernails were filthy. Like David Gushy, a Christian ethicist and ex-evangelical who narrated his conversion from traditional het cis patriarchy to full LGBTQ inclusion in a book named after the rarest of human phenomena, Changing Our Mind. His manicure is appalling, and David Gushy just keeps digging. Like Mike Hunter and Dottie Cook, the current and recently passed chairs of the Regional Committee on Ministry, who over some years have removed the barriers to LGBTQ plus candidates seeking ordination to Christian ministry in the Christian Church, Disciples of Christ, the Southwest region of our church lost entire congregations over this decision to ordain queer folks. Some of our stubborn siblings in Christ who are still standing in the back, shaking their heads no. But there have been more than enough diggers to break that ceiling, to grant access to you, Deanne, just like so many granted access to me. And if I look around this room, and if I imagine the people who are joining us from home, and if I remember the people who were here at Galileo's beginning, back when we had just ordered our very first pride flag from Amazon.com, because really there was only one back then, I see a lot of appalling manicures. A lot of beat up hands, a lot of muddy knees, a lot of sweaty spirits who have worked and worked and tried and tried and dug to get us here. You and me, Deanne, and a bunch of others who might not have found their way to Jesus' feet if not for them. A bunch of us, more or less paralyzed, down on the mat, hoping beyond hope that someone would come along and pick us up and dig us through and lower us down and leave us with him. And here is what I am really, truly saying, Deanne. Trust them, the diggers. Believe them when they tell you that your gifts and calling are from God and are irrevocable. Believe them when they tell you that all the digging has been worth it, because your healing and health are worth it, because your body and soul are worth it, because you are going to make such a great digger yourself after all the dancing, because you are going to bring so many beloveds to the feet of Jesus. Your fingernails are going to be filthy. Alleluia. Amen.
Thanks for listening to That's What She Said. If what you've heard is helpful, consider becoming a patron of its production by joining our subscribers on Patreon. This podcast is preached almost always by our lead evangelist, Reverend Dr. Katie Hayes. Galileo Church has 5 missional priorities. We do justice for LGBTQ+ people and support the people who love them. We do kindness around mental health and mental illness, and we celebrate neurodiversity. We do beauty for our God who is beautiful. We do real relationship, no bullshit, ever. And we do whatever it takes to share this good news with the world God still loves. To support our missional priorities, go to galileochurch.org and click on Share With Us. You'll have options to contribute through Venmo, PayPal, or your bank account. And if you're kind enough to share your contact information with us, we'll continually send you thanks. Peace.